guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelker and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati back home in our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. How you doing, Anthony?
This place doesn't smell any different.
Big Jim Murray in our update studio. We've all returned from South Bend, Indiana. Is that good or bad? I don't know what that means.
Well, no, I'm saying that there's usually a little bit of a zoo type of stench in here, and I think it's still here even though he wasn't here today.
Got it. There you go. We're fresh off our trip from South Bend, Indiana yesterday, so I told you yesterday today would be a re-entry Wednesday like you read about because we've all been off for quite a bit of time, so we've got quite a bit to unpack. Three Patriots games for Maz and I. Murray was in that following week after the Steelers games. So he's been here for the Steelers fallout and the Josh Gordon fallout. We haven't been here. So Maz and I have a lot to unpack. I think it's a Patriots and Celtics day primarily. So let's just get started right now. Maz, we'll start with the Patriots. General question. What's your confidence level in the team going into the playoffs?
I mean, relative to other years, it's low. Overall in the AFC, I would tell you that I think that this crop of AFC teams is relatively flawed. And that if the Patriots have to go on the road in the postseason, I don't like their chances. So, obviously,
you just said like two different things there.
What?
Well, that the AFC playoff field is flawed, but you still don't like the chances if they go on the road.
Yeah, but look, this Patriot team isn't... So, you're right, I did say two different things. I can understand how you would take those as contradictory. The Patriots aren't as good as they've been in the past. So, in the past, I might have thought they could go on the road and win a game. I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to do that this year. And so, if they have to go to Kansas City, I don't think they're going to win. Now, could things fall their way? Would it shock me if Kansas City lost? No. I guess this is sort of what I'm saying.
You're kind of hedging here. I'm hearing like you don't want to deal with a bleh, Maz told you so. Are they going to the Super Bowl?
No.
All right. Yeah, because I'm with you on that. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
No, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. I felt like Belichick, Brady went to their last one after they lost to Philly. So I don't think there's been nothing that has happened during the course of this season that has changed my mind.
Well, see, what you're doing is you're jumping to something that's easy to do, which is, well, look at the field and look at how it's all lined up for them again. Again, you could easily have a thing here where you're home for the Texans in the divisional round and then home for the Chargers in the AFC Championship game, you know? And I know the Chargers are better this year, but they're still the San Diego Chargers. They're going to win a, you know, January 31st road championship game to go to the Super Bowl. They ain't the Chargers I know. So it's entirely possible. You're home for the playoffs and you're facing the Texans and the Chargers. And you look at that and go, well, okay, so but that's like a separate analysis than the team itself. And so...
So let's start with the team then.
That's where I'm at. How do you feel about the team? I don't love them. I haven't loved them from day one. And nothing during the course of the regular season knocked me off of that. And that's what I'm sort of surprised at. The people that, you know, they maybe, you know, it was the Packers win or the Vikings win. You really felt you got it.
Like, yeah, those are the two games.
How do you feel now? Like, apologize.
Yeah, and I got sucked up into that. Look at where are those two teams?
Here they are again. But that's what all the fans, and I never got caught up. I said, whoa, you were home. Did Green Bay win a single game on the road all year?
Nope.
You beat the Packers. So what? Minnesota turned out to be exceptionally.
The biggest disappointment in the NFL this year.
Mediocre team. So even when it happened, I wasn't like, oh, there's something that I thought they weren't. I never liked the Patriots from the start this year. Not from the start. And nothing knocked me off of that. So I don't like them. So someone's going to knock them off here. Now, I don't know who, but I feel to make Stewart happy, I think I'm going to pick against him every week in the playoffs. Okay? Just to give Jimmy what he wants.
As long as you pick somebody and I have sound of it.
Exactly.
Coming in hot for 2019.
Here we go.
So, I mean, I'll just do it to begin. Someone's going to trip him up. So this is back to your thing. It's like, if they're home divisional weekend against the Texans, how do I take the Texans? I can't take that. I don't think the Texans are going to win that game. But I'm going to pick them. Because someone's going to, the Pats aren't going to make it. It's not their year. It's just, And so that's why I'm on this team.
Mike, the team to pick is the Ravens. Defense, fine. They know you, they don't fear you. I mean, they cheat like you cheat. All good.
The Ravens are one that I can you know, easily, and I think we all can, because given the history. But screw it, I'll take the Texans. I'll take the Wales Vagina Chargers. I'll take them all. I'll take any of them. Because someone's going to beat the Patriots.
So I'll let you know who I'm picking in week one, or the, you know, divisional round, when I know who the opponent is. Because I'm not convinced the Patriots will win at home. I like them at home. But depending on who the opponent is, look, I'll tell you what has completely gone up my mail chute since in the last couple of weeks since we haven't been here. And that is this idea that somehow, you know, yeah, they ran the ball against the Bills and then they threw it against the Jets. The offense is back. No, it isn't. Those two teams suck. Like, all of a sudden, we're going to get geeked up that they beat the Bills and the Jets at home? Like, that has somehow changed the narrative of the season or of the team?
Now, the Bills game, that was an ugly win, and Brady looked like garbage. The thing that's encouraging is that Brady finally looked like Brady for the first time in weeks in the win over the Jets, but it's still the Jets, so you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, look, the Jets who fired their coach the next day, or the same day. I don't even remember, for crying out loud, it happened so fast. Like, let's not delude ourselves into thinking that somehow the end of the regular season meant something to the Patriots. It didn't.
It didn't. We said it all came down to that Pittsburgh game, and so that's what I analyze. I don't hold the bad stuff against you, against the Bills, and I don't give you credit for the good stuff against the Jets. Both those are out the window. Both those games to me are out the window. And so I think the Patriots have sort of established what they are, which is not quite good enough. They're fine. They're good. I mean,
they're a B.
They'll go far. They've gone far. They're here again. But I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a championship team, and that's going to show up. So exactly when and where, again, your guess is as good as mine, but I'll pick against them every week just to make you happy. The what's your confidence level in Tom Brady?
Not as high as normal. I mean, again, like, you want me to put a number on it? You want me to give you something like that? I tell you that I think Brady in 2018 has been a B-minus quarterback, or a B-tops. I don't think he's been anything better than that. So do I think that all of a sudden they're going to get into the postseason and Brady's going to turn it on and elevate to this absurd level and they're going to win? No, I don't. Because every time, historically in the past, when the Patriots have gotten to a stage where we lean on the coach and the quarterback, they're usually not good enough. Like, that argument, that's always the trump card, right? The coach and the quarterback. Well, I give him a shot because of the coach and the quarterback. You know, Brady and Belichick, Belichick and Brady. You know, get in the postseason, they know how to win, blah, 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 blah. It's usually a sign that the other areas of the team are deficient. That's the way it's been in all those years. And so, honestly, I don't think Brady is equipped to get them through it the way he would have been in the past. So why would I pick him now when they didn't win then? He was a better player then and they didn't win it.
I co-sign. You, Murray?
Yeah, I'm not going to be, look, I'm as much as I was encouraged by how he looked against the Jets, I still don't think he's right. I think his knee's still gimpy. He still missed a wide-open Chris Hogan in that game. So, yeah, I'm with Maz. It's been a B year for him. I mean, as you know, he didn't hit all of his incentives that he needed to hit to get that extra money. He didn't have the MVP-caliber season that he had. He's not the same guy.
Okay, so I don't have confidence in Brady to be a championship quarterback this year. So that's
with those weapons, and I use that term loosely.
And I don't give him a break for that. I think his weapons are fine.
Yeah.
I've seen him be a lot better with a lot worse. His weapons are fine. All of a sudden, Josh Gordon is a loss. And how'd that work out for you, by the way, Josh Gordon? Josh Gordon. Oh, he didn't make it. Interesting. Who could have predicted that?
Brady finished 12th in passer rating.
So now all of a sudden he doesn't have Josh freaking Gordon. And he doesn't have the weapons. Come on. And this whole thing, Brady's hurt? Or is he hurt or is he not now? What is it? Now I'm confused. Because I think that was overplayed when he played the way he did against Buffalo. Oh, he must be hurt. Why? Why can't he just have a bad day? Why can't he be uncomfortable against a specific opponent on a specific day because maybe he's not playing well? And he came off a bad game against Pittsburgh. So maybe he had back-to-back bad games. Does he have to be hurt? Why does he have to be hurt? Why can't he just be...
Well, hurt or old, one or the other. He doesn't look like the same guy.
But I mean, why can't it be neither? They just played poorly. Why can't we just do that?
Those bailouts to the left, you know, falling down in Miami with no one touching him and screwing with the brace
maybe
and all that.
Maybe he didn't want to get hit. Maybe nothing to do with age or injury. He just didn't want to get hit.
So he's just a puss?
Maybe he just pussed out for a week. I don't know. I can't tell you. But the excuse making, my God, his weapons are fine. He's not too old. And he's obviously not that badly hurt.
I look at Brady in the aggregate.
So when he plays bad, you can't say it?
I mean, they play 16 games. were supposed to wait the last one? Like, just because it was good? Like, so now all of a sudden we're supposed to ignore the other 15? And I would say that Brady's play throughout the course of the year was consistently inconsistent. For him, this guy is the standard, for crying out loud, when you're talking about consistency. He's been the greatest player in the history of the league. So all of a sudden, he's a B-minus quarterback, and I admit, Murray, the minus is a little bit of my personal bias coming in. Okay, so he's a B quarterback. Well, he finished 12th in rating.
I was just going to say, he can stay healthy.
So just
that's a B.
Where does he rank in quarterback rating?
12th. That's a B. To me, it's no higher than that. You're not getting B-plus. Go to hell on that one.
He's still going
to
take Cam Newton over him.
We can discuss that later. So I just all of a sudden I don't have the same level of confidence in the Patriots that I've had in the past. I don't understand how you could. To me, it's been the whole year has been a slog for them. It's been a grind. They were 3-5 on the road, like, and usually that's an indication that you have a flawed team,
right? So on this front, you know, just who they are. To me, I think it was established after the Pittsburgh game. That's who they are, which is good team. I don't tell you they suck. But is that a championship team? We all said it came down to the Pittsburgh game, and the last 2 weeks were perfunctory. So the last 2 weeks are perfunctory. I'm going to, you know, the Buffalo was a bad game. That was the low end. The Jets were a great game. That was the high end. I'm going to wipe them both out. I take them both. I cancel each other out. They don't matter. Neither of them. Stop at the Pittsburgh game. And that's, you know, that's what they are, a good, not great team. But you do hear this, and Jimmy put this in our email chain. I've heard a lot of people say this, and it's a true statement, but I think it misses the mark. You know, Stu and others have said, if Gronk just makes that tackle in Miami, if they don't give up that Hail Mary play to the Dolphins, they're the first seed in the AFC and the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Which I guess is true. I guess they would be the favorite. But that would imply that it was some sort of unlucky or some sort of lucky, you know, happenstance.
So it's all about that one play?
They caught a bad break? Like, and I'm not yelling at you, Stu. But I think people... Do you realize you sucked in that game? You sucked. You deserved to lose the Miami game. You deserved it. The proper team won that ball game. You went up three separate occasions in the first half and allowed the Dolphins to come right down the field, right down your Schmenzer, three straight times to keep that a ball game. Was there a fourth in the second half as well? Your I lost track. The defense all afternoon long let the Dolphins come back in that ball game. You let them hang around. A horrible team. You let them hang around. Brady left points on the board at the end of the first half with the way he managed the clock. Belichick put a stupid personnel grouping out there on the last play. That last play wasn't lucky. That wasn't lucky. It was rare. It was rare, but that doesn't mean it was lucky. That wasn't the Stanford marching band on the, you know, on the ball taking a crazy bounce. No. You didn't execute. You had the wrong personnel on the field if you let a bad team hang around all day long. You deserve to lose.
See, to me, it's more about that last thing. If you let a bad team hang around, this is what happens.
You deserve...
Belichick's built his career on that.
You're an 11-5 team. You're not 12-4. You don't get to call yourself 12-4. Oh, if not for that play. Oh, well, if not for Pete Carroll throwing the ball, you don't have two other Super Bowls, because then I'd make you lose the Atlanta 1-2. Yep, I just did that. Pete cost you two championships. But really, you want to play that game? No. You are 11-5. 11-5. Good. That's good. Not great. Not championship. Not this year. I don't want to. Oh, if they just make that play in Miami. Don't let a horrible team hang around all day. Make a stop on defense, why don't you? Throw the ball away. Call timeout with the, you know, at the proper time inside of the first half. You never even have to deal with this crap. So you deserve to lose that game. You deserve to be what you are and where you are. There's our opening thoughts. What are yours? 617.
Welcome back.
779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Hogan, Gronk, Edelman to the right. Patterson is now in there to the left. Shotgun snap to Brady. Dancing in the pocket. Throwing to the end zone for Edelman. Ball's tipped and it lands incomplete with 14 seconds to go. Brady in a seated position, knocked down after the throw, will be helped to his feet to walk to the far side and then to head back home in the wake of another loss on the road.
Worst part about it, two gross losses in the month of December as you're closing out a year with two layups left at the end of the year.
What? Wait, you say, Felger, that was 3 weeks ago. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wasn't here for that. You may have been. I wasn't. Sorry. It's a re-entry Wednesday. Got 2.5 weeks to unpack. 3 Patriots games to unpack. So we start there.
It's a re-entry 2019, for crying out loud. Holy mackerel.
So that was the one. That was the one. So I throw out the next 2 weeks, good and bad. Brady looked bad against Buffalo. I'm not going to put too much on that. He looked great against the Jets. I'm not going to put too much on that. I'm not. I think his health level is roughly the same. I don't think he magically got better between the Bills and the Jets. I think he had a bad day in, a bad day against Buffalo and not vintage in Pittsburgh. That happens. And it's happened to him a few times this year. Hasn't had a great year. And so, what, now he's going to carry him? Can they win on defense and running the ball?
I don't think so, no.
Are they that kind of team yet?
I don't think so, no. I mean, the idea, like, and this is why I mentioned the Buffalo game, because I think some people tried to spin that as a positive. You know, they ran the ball and blah, blah, blah. If you go into the playoffs and you have to give the ball to Sony Michel 25 times, how do you feel about that?
Can I just say something? No one can. I don't believe anyone can win defense and running the ball anymore. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. The Bears do it or the Ravens do it. Then I, you know, maybe you have a case. Dallas, I don't, you know, maybe that's a tweener. But I don't think anyone, I don't think you can win that way in the league. You got to score points, man. I mean, the Patriots always have. It went, you know, once you got to the second half of their dynasty, there's always been one or two playoff games where Brady's got to put 35-plus points on the board to win a ball game in advance. So if that's any indication, he's going to have to do it again. What's your confidence level that he can do that this year?
Not.
It's not. It's not high for me. It's not. So what do you think? To your calls. Jeff in Rhode Island, lead us off. What do you got?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. You guys got to remember this. 2004. You said the second half of the dynasty. What about the first half? This team reminds me of 04. The defense has been playing tremendous the last 4 games. Maz, you're absolutely wrong.
This team, I just have to stop you.
Reminds you of 04?
They were 14-2, Jeff. They were 14-2, and their second loss was one of those Miami games that they didn't need, and they basically just threw it away. Okay, they were 14-2. I think they allowed, I mean, if I could type fast enough, they allowed something like 15 points a game on defense. That was the greatest Patriots team of all time. 2004 is the greatest Patriots team of all time. And this team reminds you of 2004? Go ahead.
You're losing it, Felger. They were the number 2 seed. You're talking about the best team of all time?
They were the best Patriots team of all time.
How? Tell me how.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to drop you and do it because now I just have to
go through the roster.
I mean,
come on.
I mean, how old was
that
guy?
Isn't that universally accepted? That's the greatest Patriots team of all time.
They were a wagon. They were a freaking wagon. And the other thing is, the league's totally different now than it was in 2. That's the other part of the equation.
They were the 2 seed. The Pittsburgh Steelers got to 15-1, and then in the AFC Championship game, the Patriots went in there and spanked them. That game was over in 10 minutes.
Okay, they were, again, as I said, 14-2 for the second straight year. That was the year that Corey Dillon was on the team. So you had Brady evolving into what he is now, which is the greatest of all time, where they had Branch, Givens, still Troy Brown. They had Brady, you know, coming up into this thing where he's the greatest quarterback in the league. And they had Corey Dillon, where, you know, you know how I feel about running backs, but he was kind of a factor that year. The defense, when it's all said and done, may have had 5 Hall of Famers on it.
They allowed 16.2 points per game, second best in the league.
They allowed 16 points a game. And I understand different time, but 16 points a game.
Second in the league is the part you need to know. Second in the league in scoring defense.
They didn't play a single... They didn't need Adam Vinatieri for a single walk-off that year. They rolled. They rolled that season. Yo, it's insane. So, Rodney Harrison, at his height, Ty Law was still on that team. He got hurt by the end, but he was on that team to start. You had McGinnis, Vrabel, Brewski, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork. You're just, I'm losing it. Good Lord, dude.
This team reminds me of 04.
That's offensive.
It's stupid.
Either you are stupid or delusional, or you're like 17 and you just weren't there for it.
Right.
You're 17 years old and you didn't witness it.
The correct answer is this team reminds you of 2011, 2013, or 2009.
Exactly.
That's it. Those are the answers.
I mean, that's the thing. Is it, you look at the Patriots teams that didn't win it. This team's way more in line with those.
Scott and Medway. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. I want to talk. You guys need to, like, get some New Year's resolutions to try to be a bit more positive.
Why?
Now, you know, with the Red Sox, they're the best team all year, and you guys just trash them all year long. And now you're betting against Belichick.
Yes, I am.
And, yeah, I mean, I think it's – I'll take your bet.
Yeah, and so what? Bet. And if you were taking it last year, you would have owed Maz a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, up until what? The Super Bowl. So, you know, these guys have been doing it for a long time.
They
I'm
sure
not
have.
One of those people.
Yeah, no, congratulations. What does the fact that they won it in 2004 have to do with this year?
Listen, I think that's stupid, too. They're not nearly as good as, you know, any Super Bowl team that they've had, I would say. However, you're going to bet against Belichick, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yes.
And you guys, I get being contrary, and I get riling people up.
No, Scott, see, you're missing the point, okay? You're missing the point. And this is what I was trying to say at the beginning of the program, that all of those years where you say, well, how do you bet against Brady and Belichick? How do you do that? When that was the ultimate logic for making the decision, they lost. Those years, they didn't win. The years they won, they had something else. They had a defense in 2014. I would even submit that 2016, as great as an outcome as it was, do you really want to hang your hat on that kind of approach? Down 28-3 in the Super Bowl and needing Kyle Shanahan to not run the ball in your 22-yard line? Like, you know, so to me, when it's too heavy on the coach quarterback argument, they don't win.
Scott, here's your final word. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I get second place is the first loser. You know what I mean? But in those type of situations, I'm not betting against Bill Belichick.
Okay, babe, we'll see how it turns out. Fair enough. Joe in New Hampshire, what do you want?
Mike.
Joe.
You guys are looking at it because it's the Patriots. If you take away what they've done in the past, this year they have as good a chance as anybody from the AFC to get in the Super Bowl.
Okay, true.
Okay, so hold on. They have a 1-6 chance.
True.
So they have a 1-6 chance.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on. You just said they've got as good a chance as anyone. That makes them one out of six.
They're undefeated at home. They get at least one playoff game at home. And if Kansas City loses, they get two playoff games at home. They got as good a chance, probably better than...
Okay, well, now you're changing the odds on me. Your comment line says Felger and Maz go back on vacation. Do you really believe that?
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, how can you... What I'm saying is they're not as good as prior Patriot teams. Everyone with that two eyes can see that. But this year, they have as good a chance as anyone from the AFC of making the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
No, they don't.
Exactly. One out of six.
Kansas City's chances are better.
One out of six.
Because if they win, they play at home.
But even if he's right, it's one out of six. So throw in the hat with six other teams. Fine. That's about where you are. I'll take the five. I'll take the field. Back on vacation, we were gone for like 6 weeks.
So the idea of going back on vacation, will he pay me? Like, I'd consider it if it's paid.
You know, he's up blazing at 15 is my limit on Schnitzelgruben. I've reached my limit on, I actually need to come back. I now need to come back. That was a little bit too long of a break. He wants to go back on vacation. It's not your year. Is it that offensive? Is it being that much of a contrarian to say it's not your year? And how unreasonable of a take is that after what we've seen this year? You've had two, you know, not only did you lose two straight, which you almost never do, you did it twice. You couldn't win on the road, hardly. And I don't know, you tell me, what do you hang your hat on? Are you a great passing team anymore? Not this year. Are you a good running team? Okay, I mean, if you are, then it means you suck. Is your defense great? Well, what do you do great? Has Bill had a great year? How is it being a contrarian to just say it's not your year?
No, no, you know what you have? You have the reputation, and I stress reputation, of the coach and the quarterback. Now, look, Belichick, I think, had a better year than Brady did. So I'm like, I don't want to dump on Bill in the process.
No, I agree with that 100%.
So, because at the end of the day, like, I just don't think this
team... He still bollocks the Miami game.
He totally did. I just don't think he's, you know, I just don't think they're all that good. And they had to grind for some of these wins this year. They had to get creative for them. But at the end of the day, what they have is the reputation of the coach and the quarterback.
And I'll just say this, you know, at least Josh Gordon's look good. You know, I mean, that I'll give you. Wait, what? Oh, that's right again. I'm sorry. Oh, he didn't make it. Oh, really? Oh, my God. Knock me over with a feather. You got to be kidding me. He didn't? The ultimate professional. Oh, you got. Oh, so do I get my apology back? Or like, how does that work? Because I mean, I was told when he caught one freaking pass in the end zone against the Colts that, you know, oh, Felger, you need now to stuff it on Josh Gordon. I mean, that's what I was told. So now that I'm ultimately right and you're wrong, what now? Like, I'm confused. Where is that apology? Does it come back to me? Do I get to revoke that? Do I get to take that back? Josh Gordon. Oh, good call, everybody. Yeah, Josh Gordon, good. Excellent work. Tremendous. Here's Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side, wide open. Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit. Goodbye. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
I'm pissed. I'm just going to say it. I'm disgusted. I am sick and tired of this guy getting chances. Listen, here's the bottom line. You're about to get suspended. Now, we can sit up there and say he's an addict. And if you want to sit up there and look at it from that perspective, because that is the reality, I understand those who call for a degree and a level of compassion. But what I would ask people is think for one second. We know what he's done to himself. We know how tragic that is. We know what he's cost himself dollars-wise. We know what he's done to his life. We know how compromised his family life, except we get all of that. And that's obviously a very, very sad thing that garners all of our contrition to some degree. But the other thing is, look at the amount of people this man has turned down. I don't want to say anything else because I'm so disgusted at such wasted talent.
Good job, Stephen A. Jeez. That's another thing that stood out about the Gordon thing was the reaction to it. So, it's Felger and Mass back here on a massive reentry Wednesday. We've been off for a couple weeks, so we're unpacking a lot of the stuff that we weren't here for. This is one of them, so I know you've been over this. We haven't. I'll give you our take, and then we'll move on. You can comment if you want, Mass. Before I get going, you got just a reaction or thought to the Josh Gordon situation?
Yeah, I would tell you that. I still think that it's more about Belichick and the Patriots than it is about Josh Gordon. Like, this guy's track record was well established when you brought him here. If you wanted to take a flyer on him, I had no problem with that. I told you that at the beginning. My issue is the fact that they doubled down on it. The trade deadline came and went, and you didn't go get help. Did you think this guy was going to make it? You were betting on this guy to make it. Like, the pattern with this player, with this person, very well established by the time he got here. So all of a sudden, you're going to put your eggs in that basket? To me, it's more about Belichick and the team than it is about Gordon.
That's what it was to me. I mean, it reeked of desperation at the time, and it was more an indictment on how the team has handled that position. They can't draft at that position to save their lives. Well, that's Bill. And then, like Maz said, it was another opportunity to go back and look at their inactivity at the trade deadline, which drove me crazy at the time that they did nothing. But remember, they were sniffing around wide receivers. They were in on Demaryius Thomas, but the price was too high, and they didn't want to deal with the money. And maybe they were doing that because they thought what was going to happen with Josh Gordon was eventually going to happen. So, I don't know. I thought that they mishandled the position going into the season. They mishandled it when they first signed him. I liked it because I thought there was upside. They got 11 serviceable games out of him, but that it happened, how can anyone be surprised?
It's a bad signing and it cost you. You're worse off because of it. Because he came in and did a little something. You then abandoned Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett. And so when Josh Gordon, of course, couldn't keep his act together, and, you know, gets whacked for the rest of the year, now you don't have anything built up with Dorsett and Hogan. You have to start over with those players. Or if you had been working those players in starting in week three or four, whenever the Gordon thing happened, you're farther along with them. So you got put back, you got set back when he was signed. Well, what's to lose? That is what's to lose. And it happened. It's the exact thing that he plays well enough that you start to rely on him. And then once you rely on him, he gets nabbed. And now where are you? And that's where you are. It hurt you. It was the wrong move. It didn't work. And you're in a worse spot because of it. Fact. Well, am I a bad person to point that out? Because it feels like. So here's my take. That's why I liked Stephen A. there. At least he's calling the player out. Oh, my God. The outpouring of support for Josh Gordon is, to me, it was just a little much. It's just a little much. Like, what are we doing here? And I'll just read Ty Anderson from 98.5thesportshub.com, but he's not the only one. I'm not ripping him because a lot of people said the exact same thing. It felt like the consensus opinion. Like, the consensus opinion, people said, well, this is about him as a person, not as a football player. And this is about him getting his life right. And what a sad story this is for him. And this isn't about football. You know, that's what everyone is saying. Ty Anderson wrote it. At the end of the day, what has happened to suspend wide receiver Josh Gordon over the last 24 hours isn't about a player leaving his team in the lurches and down a productive wideout just 2 weeks before the start of the playoffs. It's not. This is not about Josh Gordon leaving his team in the lurches. It's not about the Patriots putting their eggs in the wrong basket carried by the league's most troubled player. It's not even about in I told you so that some people, for some strange reason, longed to scream from the moment the Patriots added Gordon. It's not about any of those things, he says. It's really about an addict currently losing his battle. And if you're a person with anything close to a heart, you know how absolutely awful this really is for all involved. Okay. And I'm not yelling at Ty because a lot of people have said this. What are we? Are we doing Dr. Phil now? Is this, are we Oprah? Are we a sports show?
See, I don't draw any distinction from Josh Gordon to any other guy that's failed a drug test or has some sort of problem staying on the field because he can't discipline himself. I don't draw any distinction there whatsoever. To me, the line about left his team in the lurch, there's some truth to that. I still blame Belichick for that more than I do blame Gordon.
I mean, if you only want to get personal, how about his family? He's got people to support and people who rely on him. And because he can't just keep it together for a couple of weeks, he's now hurt the people around him. If you want to get to a personal level, but I don't care to go there because this isn't Oprah. This is a sports show.
Who do you hold more accountable, though, Gordon or Bill?
Well, Gordon's ultimately responsible for what he does, but the Patriots never should have signed him. So both. Like, I mean,
I go Bill.
I think they're both wrong.
Gordon was well established what he was when they brought him here. Well established.
I told you from day one they should have signed the guy. But I don't absolve Gordon. I mean, it's freaking sad.
But Gordon's exactly what he was when they brought him here.
But I'm telling you, it's not sad. Of course it's sad. It's sad that he can't keep it together when he has so much to lose. I mean, that's freaking pathetic. It's sad. But this isn't about leaving a team in the lurches. This isn't about putting their eggs in the wrong basket of the wrong player. It's not about telling I told you so. Yes, it is. It's what we do. If he worked out... The guy caught two freaking passes and people are saying, I told you so, Felger, I told you so. So now that he fails, it's not about I told you so. What is that? God, it's like, what are we doing here? It's not about leaving the team in the lurches. Yes, it is. He left the team in the lurches. You can blame the team for putting it on him in the first place. Sure. But this is what we're doing. You want to talk about his personal problems and all those demons? Yes, God, change it to a different channel. We're just here talking about the team. And the wins and the losses and the player. If the players stayed here, signed here, stayed here, succeeded here, what would everyone be saying? I told you so. How do you like them now? Look, they're the number one seed and Josh Gordon's because of it. Well, wait a minute. Is it about the person or is it about the team? But as soon as he fails, oh, it's about the person. And anyone who knows, you know, anyone who's had any history with this will know. Like, here's a clue for everyone listening to my voice right now. Has some sort of experience with substance abuse or mental illness in their family or their close circle. Everyone, every single person listening to me right now has someone in their circle, someone in their family with a drinking problem, a drug problem, a substance abuse problem, or a mental illness problem. That affects every single one of us. But I feel like, you know, something like this happens. Everyone says, well, you know, you don't know. You don't know the pain that these guys go through. It's really about the person. No, we all know because everyone has to deal with everyone. Okay, so that's not unique. And we're here to talk about the team and the players. And if he was succeeding, this is what I know we'd be hearing about the team and the player and the smart move they made. But now that it blows up in their face, you bring that out and you have no heart? What? Dude, you want to talk about substance abuse and mental issues, all this stuff? Dr. Phil is like three channels down from us here on NBC Sports Boston, wherever he is. Turn that on. We're here to talk about the team and the game. So I just like, I read that. Like, what do you mean we're not supposed to say, I told you so? If he worked out, you'd be calling me, you'd be all lit up with Felger, we told you so, Felger, we told you so, Felger, we told you. That's the whole game. You think they're going to win, I think they're going to lose. After the game, one of us says to each other, I told you so. So they sign a player, they draft a player. I like the signing, you don't like the signing. We see how it works out. Then you call me the next week, and one of us says to each other, I told you so. This is what we do. Josh Gordon, I told you so. I told you so. And if that makes me, if I lacks heart, or you want to talk about his all his other problems, change the channel. We're here talking about the football team. At least I thought we were. My God. And, you know, you feel bad for him. I feel bad for the people around him who rely on him. That's who I feel bad for.
Did the Patriots rely on him?
Yeah, so
I don't feel bad for them.
So the team is not him. I'm talking about his family.
Personal life.
Wife, you know, whatever. Children, those people.
So this is my
who
point.
Who he's supposed to support. So, but again, that's for another channel. I'll call Dr. Phil on that and have a conversation about that.
Yeah, you have no heart, Felger.
I mean, that's how this is what we do here. We talk about the X and the Y receiver and the downfield threat and the outfield the number threat.
You know what the world is now, though. Of course, this.
Oh my God!
I mean, I don't know how much. Look, based on my knowledge of him, anyway, I don't know how much he has in terms of a family. So maybe this is why he does continue to go down the road that he does. I mean, I do feel
he has kids, right?
I can't speak to that.
I believe he does.
You know, traumatic childhood, so he's had all of these problems. So I do. I felt for him, and I hope he gets the best, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But to me, I'm with Maz. This had more to do with the team and their desperation of signing this guy in the first place, and that they ended up relying on him too much.
See, to me, that's the part of the story I can't get past. Because, again, if we're talking about it from a football perspective, from a team perspective, how do you put yourself in a spot as a guy who runs a franchise to rely on that guy? How do you put yourself in that spot?
I said it from day one.
So again, because again, Gordon did not change while he was here. This is the point, Mike.
Oh my God,
this is what I'm saying.
They got guys trailing him. They got guys following him around, and he slips out. He eludes them on the bye weekend. Was that one of the stories?
Yes.
You know what? I wonder if he was drunk or high during games. This is something he was very open. He admitted that he had never played or practiced a football game for years without drinking or smoking before that game or practice. He did it every day.
Yeah, the GQ article, he said he would warm up with Grand Marnier.
Yeah, and who knows what else. Okay? So he would be drunk or high for games, or at least, you know, he would have drank or smoked before games. And I think he said in that interview every game. So I look at it and I wonder, boy, he had some weird things that we could just see from afar. Like, he couldn't finish plays. He's sat out
the Pittsburgh game, the end of the Pittsburgh game, on the last
Came off the field on the last play.
On the last play, yeah. They put Cordarrelle Patterson in his place.
Did someone on the page say, look, I said, get, you know, they looked at Gordon, maybe he was, I don't know, a look in his eye, or he wasn't right for someone, and said, get out of here. Get off the field. Who knows with this guy? But that's who you hitch your wagon to, and that's the story. That's the story, because that's the story when he got here. So now it's a story on the way out the door. It was a bad move. You were wrong. I was right.
I mean,
I told you so.
Yeah, and the fact that they allowed that to snooker themselves at the deadline. Like, you know, because there were players out there. Murray's right. There were players available. And they passed because they had Gordon.
Just don't give me Demaryius Thomas, though. I still would have passed on Demaryius Thomas. I don't care about
that. But I'll tell you what. Like, take your pick. Say whoever you want.
Well, how about...
And I'm not telling you they should have given up a first-round pick for Cooper.
Golden Tate was the guy who ended up going for a third or a fourth or whatever the hell it was to Philadelphia.
I would have just invested more in Philip Dorsett and keep throwing him the ball. He was starting to show you something. He was more in the style of your offense, I thought. Anyway, well, there's your Gordon thoughts. Back to your thoughts right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Will you be coming back next year in 2019 and playing a full season?
I absolutely believe I will. I know I've talked about it for a long time. You know, I have goals to play not only next year but beyond that, and I'm going to try to do it as best I possibly can. I'm going to give it everything I have like I always have. It'll certainly be a challenge. I don't take any of these things for granted, but I hope I can keep playing. I hope I can keep playing at a championship level.
So let's get thoughts on this and then right back to you, I promise. So that also happened last week. Brady with Jim Gray reiterating next year and beyond. Why are you smirking?
Because what is, I believe that I'm coming back. What is, so, like that bugs me a little.
Okay. Is he doing that because he doesn't want to sound presumptuous to think that my job's secure, I have to earn my job?
No.
Why not?
Because he's already got the owner in his back pocket.
But he doesn't want to portray that publicly.
So he's playing the politics of it.
I mean, no, he's not playing it. No, he's trying to, it's false humility. It's, well, if they'll have me, I want to be back. That's
so,
what he's saying.
So that's what I mean. Like, to me, that's political. Like, it's about how you're perceived more than it is the reality of it.
Yes.
And I think that is just, can we stop with the bullcrap? They traded the guy. They traded the successor. He's the guy. So, like, I just wish for once, just once, when someone asked him, Tom, are you coming back? Yep, I'm playing. I'm playing. Like, I don't, what's he doing? Is he leaving open the possibility of, like, well, you know, I could get hurt? Or, like, I just think, look, I'm playing. I'm coming back. I'm playing next year. If he gets hurt, then something changes. Like, okay, we're not going to hold you to it, Tom. If you have a career-ending injury, you have a career-ending injury. I believe. I don't like that. It feels to me like he couches everything. Everything. It's a pretty straightforward question.
Okay. So you think he's still couching? I think that's a pretty definitive statement. And I think he's pretty definitive about
it. I just don't like the way he says it.
So
you're just mad Garoppolo's not here.
Isn't it more that Brady's saying, I want to be here if the Patriots will have me come back?
Right. Like, that's what I was implying. You know, that he doesn't want to speak for the team. He doesn't get to determine whether it's his job or not. And so that's how he's portraying it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get to decide that right until he goes to the owner and asks him to trade the next guy.
Whether it's genuine or not, I think that's what he's trying to get across.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Okay, so false humility, fine. I think he's pretty definitive. I think he's pretty definitive about next year and beyond, next year and beyond, next year and beyond. He doesn't come off of that. And I believe him. I'm holding him to it. He has to. He better. After, again, to your point, he has the owner go trade the other guy. You better give us 3 more years, 4 more years. Otherwise, you will have porked Robert Kraft. He can't do that. You better stick around now. And I would add parenthetically, you've also got to start showing up for off-season camps like you always did in the past. But that's a story for another day. So I think he's coming back. I think what's interesting, I heard the midday mention this. If Curran said this over the break, I missed it. But, you know, it is interesting, Brady's contract situation. And that is, The team doesn't want to, you know, I'm pretty sure the team never wants to have Belichick have the leverage of being in the last year of a contract. And would they ever want Brady to have the leverage of being in the last year of the contract? And what's different there is that Brady, there's a franchise tag consideration where they can tag him. Okay, so it's not really the last year if you consider that. But if Brady gets to the last year of his contract, he does have some leverage. He does in terms of, you know, if he just wants to play hardball and go somewhere else, he could do that. So I wonder if that, and so back to what Curran said, is Brady saying that a negotiating ploy? You know, I'm still playing. You've only got me signed for 1 more year, but I'm playing beyond. So
yeah, I look, I'm telling you, I just think that there is a, you know, I don't rule out the contract part of it either. Like, you know, I don't know what the number is next year, something like $27 million or something stupid like that, right? They're not going to give him that as a cap number. They're not, historically, they haven't. So maybe this is Brady's way of saying, well, yeah, if we work out the contract stuff, I believe I'm going to be back. That is possible. I will allow for that.
And that's what I would say is the leader in the clubhouse, because it's usually about money. It usually is.
I just wish that he would answer the question directly, like head on. None of this, I believe. Tom, have you ever cheated? I don't believe so. You know, like, it's all, there's always some little, he can never just answer yes or no. It bugs the crap out of me. Good God.
Again, so look, just mad that Garoppolo's not here.
So maybe. Like, that's probably part of it. I'd be lying if I told you it weren't. Like, I think they made the wrong decision by keeping the guy. So now we're going to play this Brett Favre game all the time? Like, and again, I'm embellishing a little bit. But holy crap. Like, are you or aren't you?
Okay, I think he is. And I think he's pretty clear about it.
So now if you're asking me, do I think he's coming back? Yeah. Yeah, I would say he's coming back.
But I also think he's saying it definitively. I do.
Yeah, I think there's some ulterior motive there. I believe it just bugs me.
I don't believe
answer the question directly.
Yeah, I don't believe he's parsing words as much as you do.
I do.
He's definitely back, and if he doesn't come back, he sounds like a total bald-faced liar. What's all this stuff about you? I know. Yeah, no. Next year and beyond. Next year and beyond. Next year and beyond. So he said too much and committed too much to go back now. So I don't think that's a realistic possibility. But is there an ulterior motive there? Okay, so we're unpacking all of our Patriots thoughts. How do you feel about the team? I don't think anyone in this room thinks they're going all the way. I don't. It's not their year, and they're going to get tripped up here, probably before the Super Bowl. There's that. Thoughts on Josh Gordon, thoughts on Tom Brady. What's your confidence level in the team? What's your confidence level in Brady? Get right back to your thoughts on all this after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.